Tonight, I just want to speak about this one topic. And my topic for tonight is to be useful for the Master. Or the question, how can we be more useful for the Master? During the morning, we spoke about how to live our lives with a godly purpose. How to have that single-minded purpose to know Christ. And not only to know Christ, but to make Christ known to all people. You know, and the good news is, if by God's grace, we have the single-minded purpose to know Christ, the consequence, the result of that will be that we will become more and more useful. And you know, actually, God desires every Christian, to be useful. Let's quickly go to Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to read this verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I just want to repeat, God desires every Christian to be useful for His purposes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Friends, this is good news, wonderful news. God has a purpose and a plan for my life and for your life as a Christian. And the good news is this, God has already prepared that. But the question comes to mind, do we know, are we useful for the Master? Are we obedient? Are we available? Are we consecrated? Are we clean vessels? That's the question that we need to answer. Let's just bow our heads and then we can pray. Heavenly Father, we sung about Your love. And Your love is everlasting. Your love is indescribable. And Lord, when I meditate on Your love, I see Christ at the cross calling out, my God, why have You forsaken me? I see the Lord Jesus dying for my sins and for our sins in our place, paying that price completely. So Lord, You have revealed Your love to us, and Your love has impacted our hearts. So tonight, Lord, I pray that You would help us to meditate on this question. Am I useful for the Master? How can I be more useful for the Master? For the one that gave His life out of love for me, so that I would love Him. Lord, I pray that You would bless Your words in our hearts, that You would inspire us to love You and serve You and follow You. In Your name, amen. Friends, I just want you to open your Bibles. I want us to read from two portions. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then also 1 Peter chapter 2. You must forgive me. I'm going to skip around in the Bible a lot tonight. But I want us to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1. And the topic is, how can we be useful for the Master? Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in the second portion, 1 Peter chapter 2, again from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, and coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Friends, Peter is teaching us that salvation is one coin with two sides. Salvation is like one coin with two sides. You have trust on the one hand, and then you've got obedience on the other hand. You've got doctrine on the one hand, and then you've got practice on the other hand. You've got believing on the one hand, and then you've got doing on the other hand. And friends, the emphasis in salvation is never on what we have done. The emphasis in salvation is never on my good works, but first and foremost, always on God's works. This is so important. The emphasis is this: God's perfect salvation fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That is the emphasis. And you know what? To be useful for a master, this is so important. Just remember the coin now. To be useful for a master, firstly, we need to understand the nature of our salvation. You see, the problem is, sometimes we're very zealous to do good works. But ultimately, friends, that is not the most important thing in life. The most important thing is this: have you received this salvation? And do you understand the nature of this salvation? And that's why I'm reading two portions. Because if you read 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1 to 5, then you understand that in order to be useful for a master, firstly, you need to understand the nature of salvation. And we could coin that justification. Understanding the nature of salvation. If we can go back, just go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. That verse, it says there, it starts with a word, therefore. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So Peter is reminding us of our great salvation that we find in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at this great salvation that we've received. Firstly, what is the source of our great salvation? Chapter 1, the mercy of God. The source of this great salvation that we've received is the mercy of God. What is the scope of this great salvation? Friends, we are born again to a new life in Christ. What is the effect of this great salvation? We have a living hope. And I'm telling you now, we are living in a day and age where people are not only living without God, people is living without hope. What is the means of our great salvation? Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive and He has risen. And what is the goal of our great salvation? Friends, we've received our inheritance. There's a wonderful verse, Marius, since you know all the verses. In Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, He that started a good work in you will complete it, friends. So we've received a wonderful salvation. Secondly, if we want to be useful for the Master, we need to work out this salvation. And that's what we call sanctification. And this is the hard work. We need to work out this salvation. You know, obedience is the key to blessings. Obedience is also the key to being useful. Unfortunately, I've got some bad news tonight. The bad news is, there's no shortcuts in sanctification. Some people have an experience. Some people go through the motions. But friends, I want to tell you, sanctification is a step-by-step relationship with the risen Lord Jesus. So, if we want to be useful for a Master, we need to work out the salvation that we've received. We call it sanctification. And we need to take small, significant steps. Because ultimately we said that the heart and soul of Christianity, this morning we said, is a living, vital relationship with the Lord. So just to recap, if we want to be useful for the Master, number one, we must understand the nature of our salvation. The most important thing, what has God done for us? A wonderful plan of salvation fulfilled in Christ. Secondly, if we want to be useful for the Master, we must work out this salvation step by step. And tonight, I just want to speak about those steps. I call it small but significant steps. Step number one. I'm back at 1 Peter chapter 2. So we're staying with 1 Peter chapter 2 now. We need to work out our salvation, friends. And we need to understand that there's no shortcuts. If you and I want to be useful for the Lord, it is step by step by step, moment by moment, that we live for the glory of God. The first step, step number one, let's just read verse 1 again. Therefore, Peter is reminding the Christians, don't forget about your great salvation. That is the most important. That's foundational. That is justification. God has done a wonderful, precious, powerful work of salvation in your hearts. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, friends, the first step, remember I said step by step. Step number one is separate yourself from all sin. Paul says, putting aside all sin. Now, all sin is all sin. Friends, this is a simple reality. But this is a powerful reality. if the Bible says put aside all sin, it means all sin. This is a small step, but this is enormous. This is so important. Put aside all sin. So if I sit in the church tonight and I know about something small that stands between myself and Christ, I need to deal with it. Because friends, if we want to be useful for the Master, we need to take these steps. Né? Put aside all sin. And now Paul speaks about malice. It means all evil. He speaks about deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Quickly go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Separate yourself from sin. Step number one. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. Step number one. Put aside all sin. The heart, my heart, your heart, all our hearts combined, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even give to each man according to his ways. So friends, the heart, my heart and your heart, is wicked and deceitful above all things. And that's why I want to tell you something. Many a times people will say, you know what? It is the devil that made me do it. It's the devil. Die duivel het my versoek. Dis hoekom ek so kwaad raak. Friends, our greatest enemy is not the world that's lost and broken and sinful. Our greatest enemy is right inside of us. This is so important to understand. Our greatest enemy is inside of us. Don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Purify your heart and follow Christ. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we make a big mistake. We underestimate the destructive power of unconfessed sin in a Christian's life. I want to repeat this. The biggest mistake that we many times make as Christians is we underestimate the destructive power of unconfessed sins in our lives, in my life and your life. You know, unconfessed sin is like a cancer. It always grows. This is the destructive nature of sin. Sin is like a cancer. It always grows, friends. And you know what? It hurts the people closest to you. And that's why I say the first step is we need to put aside all sin. Deal with your sin, confess it, forsake it, separate yourself from it. Because friends, you know what? Christ died for our sins. If we want to be useful, that's step number one. Step number two, let's go to verse two. Step number two, a desire for God's word. A desire for God's work. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I've got four children. Marius, I don't know about your children, but they desired milk when they were babies. And they used to cry a lot, especially Clara used to cry a lot. I mean, really, there was a hunger and a thirst for milk. But friends, what do you do if you've got no desire for God's Word? You've got a desire to go to your favorite webpage. You've got the desire to read a good book. You've got the desire to do whatever. But friends, what do we do if we don't have any desire for God's Word? You know what we do? We pray and we plead and we ask God to give us a desire. Let's just quickly go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Step number 2. If we want to be useful for the Lord, if we want to work out God's salvation, we need to desire God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Why must we desire God's Word? But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Friends, if we separate ourselves from sin, and the blood of Christ purifies our heart, and we start desiring God's work, a miracle happens. God will give you a pure heart, and from that pure heart, something will flow. It's called the love of God. And myself, I've spoken to Marius. You know what? Ultimately, the true measure of godliness is what? It's love, friends. If you want to know if you're a spiritual person, if you want to know if you're zealous, if you want to know if you're Christ-like, you measure yourself like this. Do I love my brother and sister in Christ? Do I love the Lord? And this is what happens. As we spend time with God's Word, it's like a mirror. And that mirror reveals my selfishness, my self-centeredness. And that mirror shows me something wonderful. It doesn't only show me my own wicked heart, it shows me something far more important. It shows me that God has got a gracious, a loving, a forgiving heart. And friends, that's wonderful. You know, when we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes and reveals our selfish hearts. But something else is revealed, that the God that we serve is a loving, gracious, and forgiving God. So the second step is, may we desire God's Word. Friends, why do we struggle so much with quiet time? Why do we struggle so much with that? You know what? Friends, if we follow the example of Christ, something will happen in our hearts. We need to read the Word. We need to listen to the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to memorize the Word. We need to apply the Word. And we need to pray that God will give us a desire. That's the second step. Step number 3, verse 3. When was the last time that we've tasted that the Lord is good? Step number 3. If indeed, verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Friends, when was the last time that we've tasted that the Lord is good? You know, we need to remind ourselves that God is good. We need to remind ourselves about the miracle of redemption, that Christ is a Redeemer and a Savior, that He became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. You know, every time that I and you confess a sin and we receive forgiveness, we ought to taste the goodness of God. Every time. Let's quickly go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Tasting that the Lord is good. Step number 3. To be useful for a master. Just read with me Psalm 34. Just listen to these words. And friends, I want to encourage you. Listen to these words, because I want to tell you, when you follow the steps that God specifies in His Word, this psalm will become a reality in your life. Ne? Step number one, separate yourself from all sin. Step number two, desire God's Word. Step number three, taste that the Lord is good. Psalm 34. Listen to David. This is a person that has experienced God's goodness. What's God's goodness? Forgiveness? Cleansing? Purification? A new heart? A new life? A living hope? Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Listen, the humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and rescues them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Friends, I want to go to step number four. Step number one, step number two, step number three, step number four. Friends, step number four is consecration. Consecration. Step number one, put away all sin. All sin in your life. Examine yourself. Put it away. Step number two, pray that God will give you a desire for His Word. Step number three, remind yourself that God is good. Step number four, consecration. Verse number four, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, coming to Him as a living stone. Friends, we need to consecrate our lives to God. I've said this many a times. A Christian does not belong to himself. A Christian belongs to Christ because you've been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Christ. You know, I'm always amazed. Sometimes when you speak to Christians, it is as if I belong to myself. My children, they know this story. I tell my children many a times. If you belong to yourself, you can do whatever you would like to do. You can look wherever you want to look. You can say whatever you would like to say. You can act in every way that you would like to act. You can... Your mind, your thoughts can go wherever you want to go. You know, friends, but this is not Christianity. Christianity is, at its essence, I am not my own property. I belong to Christ. This is Christianity. So we, as Christians, we need to be zealous to know the mind of Christ. We need to be committed to study God's Word, because God's Word reveals God's heart and God's will for us. Grace is not a free ticket for worldliness and sin. Friends, remember what we said. Consecration means that my life belongs to Christ. It means that I love the Lord and I love my brothers and sisters. I don't want to be a stumbling block to people. But if you're self-centered and if you're selfish and if you belong to yourself, friends, it's easy to be a stumbling block. But may God be gracious. I just want us to read one verse. Romans chapter 12. We can quickly go there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Consecration. Step number 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren. Listen to Paul. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because God has done a wonderful work of salvation. He has embraced you. He has given His life for you. I urge you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your feet, yourself, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Friends, I want to close. You know, God desires us, desires you and me, to be useful and to be zealous in good works. And you know, to be useful for the Lord is to remind ourselves that we have received a great salvation, that we have been saved, Ephesians chapter 2, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And friends, this is my prayer, first and foremost for myself and for everyone in this church. May the love of Christ motivate us, friends. Nothing else can motivate you to love and good works except the love of Christ. May the love of Christ motivate us to work out this great salvation. To work it out by putting off sin, spending time in God's Word, reminding ourselves that God is good, consecrating ourselves, and friends, that we may remember that obedience is the key. You know, if we have constant communion with Christ, the Bible says Christ is the living stone, then we will progressively become like Him, living stones. And you know what? A living stone, friends, is not in isolation. A living stone is joined together so that we can become a building for the Lord. And this is my prayer, that God would work in our hearts at Everglen Baptist Church, that there would be a longing in our hearts. Lord, I want to be useful. Lord, Lord Jesus, You have embraced me. You have embraced me. Lord, I want to embrace You. Lord, I want to know You and I want to make You known to all people. Lord, be gracious and grant me a longing in my heart to be useful for Your work. Amen.